Verse 6 of Galatians chapter 4 will be kind of a theme setting or a tone setting verse, if you will. Galatians 4 and verse 6 is just an example of a point that I'm going to make tonight. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 has Paul saying, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to bless our lesson tonight. Father in heaven, I'm grateful once again, Lord, for this time to gather with your word and prayer being at our forefront and at the focus of this time together. I pray, Lord, that this time would be well spent, well intended, Father, but certainly well redeemed. Father, that we might lay up something eternal even in this short period. Bless this time to us, Father, as we consider your word. Consider what you do and why, trusting you in every circumstance. Thank you for being so trustworthy as you're faithful to us. We praise you and thank you tonight. Bless us in this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was wandering down memory lane as I was preparing this lesson, as I'm often prone to do, considering my own experiences in history, and I was thinking about, well, back in high school, I wasn't a great student in high school, didn't put a whole lot of effort into it, but one of the classes that I really excelled at was mythology. I liked Greek mythology, liked Roman mythology, because it was pretty much just story time for adults, I think you could call it fairly. But I did pretty well in that, because I enjoyed the stories, even though I certainly couldn't see the rationale behind bringing any kind of worship to any of those gods, quote-unquote, that were presented in that class. But that being said, one of the things that made them so interesting, and I'll even go so far as once I looked into it a little bit, as far as the Greek and Roman worship of those gods back in the day, one of the things that made them so kind of approachable was that they were very human, and not human like Jesus, but human in their flaws and their issues. They oftentimes made stupid mistakes. They oftentimes just were emotional. Again, the character that they attributed to these gods were just emotional and ignorant and random and whimsical. And, well, that's what kind of made them seem so appealing to these ones. And oftentimes it was kind of maddening to the ones who worshiped them because they couldn't pin down why they would make these very plain errors and even to the point that the quote-unquote gods would claim their error in those things to a certain extent. But I'm going to leave that alone because we understand that those things are false and not right. But as I compare it to the real, true, and only God that we do serve, the one true God, I've always appreciated one thing about him. Well, a number of things, but one thing that I'll talk about tonight. And that's just what I have titled up here, is that God's not arbitrary. He's never done anything randomly. He's never done anything simply based on whim or amusement or that sort of thing. And I think I probably make that point a number of times throughout different lessons. I appreciate that he's not a whimsical God. He doesn't just do things without having a reason. And, well, Galatians 4:6, as I said, it kind of laid out our theme or our topic. It's that very specific word there, the second word in that verse, because. God uses the word because in Scripture, in His Word, in His dealings with His children. Not always, perhaps, but when He feels that He needs to, and oftentimes, not only that He needs to, but that we need Him to, certainly, He'll tell us why. And He says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. There's nothing random about God, and even when He doesn't tell us why He has done something, we can be sure because of our experience, and because of the Word, and because of what His testimony is, and what Jesus has borne out for us in His own teachings, that God has a reason for every one of those things. And we do say it. We say it kind of, well, almost out of pocket, out of hand, offhand. We just say, God has a reason for such things, and it's true. He does exactly what's right every single time. And when He wants to, and when it's good for us, He uses the word because. Well, you can be turning to Genesis chapter 3. I would imagine that whether it's vocalized, verbalized, stated out loud or not, I would imagine that one of the questions that's asked of God often, and certainly people have approached me for my own perspective on a certain circumstance, why does God do this? Why has God allowed that? Why would God allow this? Oftentimes, that is that centerpiece word, why? Why is God doing this? And sometimes we make it very personal in this regard. Why is this happening to me? Oftentimes, we already know the answer. The Lord makes his desires for us clear. He oftentimes very much makes his desires for us in godliness and righteousness very clear. And oftentimes when we say, why is this circumstance happening to me? Why is this hardship coming upon me? Oftentimes we already know the answer because the Lord is dealing with us in that. But throughout Scripture, he's oftentimes explained himself whether we request him to or not. He doesn't want us ignorant. He doesn't want us to be with excuses. He's not random, again, he's not whimsical, and he's very intentional with everything that he does. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, literally from the beginning, he has done things with man with purpose and reason and been willing to express it when it has served his purpose. Then to Adam he said, and you know when this took place, this is after Adam failed with his wife. To Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. And then he gives the outcome. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles, and so on and so forth. There was an outcome. There was as my dad used to teach me from the time I remember, cause and effect, Greggy. You're the cause. This is the effect. This is what you have done. This is the outcome. Because you did this, I had to do this. And that's what God does with us. I did this because you did that. Everything's logical. Everything's rational. Everything has a purpose, and that's that. And it wasn't only with Adam and Eve. I took the liberty of going through Scripture, and I spent a good long time on this, and I didn't even scrape the surface of going into all the terminology that would fit the parameters of this, but just to find examples of God saying, because you did this, I did that. Listen to some of the things, some of the causes that mankind has done that has prompted the Lord's chastisement, correction, judgment, punishment. Because you have turned away from the Lord, because you did not believe in me, because you rebelled against my word, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart, because you trespassed against me, did not hallow me, have despised me, have rejected the word of the Lord, have disobeyed the word of the Lord, have not relied on the Lord your God. You have not spoken of me what is right. Because you have forgotten the God of your salvation. Because you have trusted in the works and your treasures. It goes on at length here. Because you have forsaken the Lord. Because you trusted in your own way. Because you have contended against the Lord. Most of these are word for word from Scripture. Mankind has done a lot of things that because of what they have done. Because of what we have done. God has had to step in and do some things. Now, how many of those things, in those circumstances, and there were more that I didn't list, and there were more that I didn't even read to you, how many of those things did God judge or correct or bring judgment upon based on a whim? Not one of them. Not one of them. They were well thought out, well planned, well rationalized. Much logic applied to those things. He did all of those. He rendered judgments that I'm not going to list for you, but each one of these had a ramification, a repercussion, an unpleasant one at that. And each one of them was for cause, for reasons. Chastisement comes because God's people choose to require it. He sets out, this is what I've told you. Each one of these things he had warned them not to reject the word of the Lord. Because you have not spoken of me what is right, he teaches us to speak what is right, or don't speak at all. You've spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, rejected knowledge. All of these things he's warned against. And yet people choose to do them otherwise. And then the repercussions, consequences, and ramifications come. Logical, rational, entirely justified on God's part. Now, lest we get kind of down on ourselves or down on the preacher for bringing up such things, it's not only the negative things. It's not always failure on the part of God's people. I'm glad for that because God is so ready to bless godly choices, because we make godly choices, to bring blessing, to bring tenderness, to bring encouragement and strength and all these things, because we make godly choices. Just so in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham chose to obey God when God said, offer up your son Isaac. Abraham did it, and the Lord stopped him when his knife was being prepared to, well, end his son's life. And when he demonstrated that willingness to comply with God, in Genesis 22 and verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. He gives the cause. He gives the reason. And he has something he's going to offer in return for that. Because you have done this thing, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Saints, obviously we fail often. Mankind fails often. And God brings the judgment and brings the thunder punch sometimes. But when we make the determination that we are going to obey, we are going to follow after God's plainly spoken word to us and plainly given direction to us, not only is it us that is blessed out of it, ourselves individually, but a number of people, a great number in the case of Abraham, can be blessed as a result. And the Lord isn't random and isn't whimsical. He looks for reasons and he looks for causes to bless. Not quite as long a list, but listen to these becauses. Because you listen to these judgments, keep and do them. Because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight. Because you relied on the Lord your God. Each of those things are causes that the Lord has looked to bless, sought to bless, and has indeed blessed. And will continue to bless in those things. They're all causes. And I like those causes. Here's another one. For the Father himself loves you, John 16:27. Because you have loved me, Jesus says, and have believed that I came forth from God. Sometimes it's just so very simple what God will bless you for. Because you have loved me. Galatians 4:6, as we just read a moment ago. Because you are a son, simply because you believed, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Saints, the one true God, and he is indeed our God and our Father. He doesn't play word games. He doesn't play mind games. He doesn't just do things whimsical and just randomly. He doesn't do that sort of thing with his people. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless his people with joy. He wants to bless his people with fellowship. He wants to bless his people with tenderness on his part. He will correct you because you have stepped outside of his will. But it's always with the purpose to build you up. Always with the purpose to repair you, and that's what he seeks to do. But he'll also, he'll show easy to see tenderness too when we are willing to love him because we've loved Jesus. He'll love us in return, show us that love in return because we've obeyed him, because we've listened to his judgments, kept them, and done them. Whatever the case, he's not arbitrary about it. If we simply walk by faith, walk in obedience, walk in love for the Lord, he has already decided, already determined, already planned to bless us. I'll close with Psalm 91, verse 14 through 16. This is God's words to his faithful. Because he, that is, the one who is faithful, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Saints, if you simply love the Lord, trust the Lord, believe the Lord, follow the Lord, and obey the Lord, and let him intentionally bless you in whatever manner he chooses, he will. Sometimes it comes with a heavy hand and the difficulties of sufferings, but there's fellowship in his sufferings. And sometimes it comes with that very easy to see, very simple to recognize tenderness that he wants to bless us with. And those times that he just gives us a little positive reinforcement. You've done well. You haven't grown weary in well-doing. Let me touch you with my hand. gently and tenderly and give you a time of peace, comfort, whatever the case may be. Regardless, it's never on a whim. It's never random. It's because the Lord wants your good. He wants to bless you by whatever means is perfect for you.